Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. On Sunday, we celebrated the visitation. That is the time when Mary, expectant with her newly formed child, Jesus, in her womb, visits her cousin Elizabeth. And at her presence and at her greeting, the babe in Elizabeth's womb leaps for joy. 6 months inside of his mother's stomach, and he still recognizes his Lord and his salvation right there in front of him. He is filled with the Holy Spirit. John the Baptizer is an important figure. All had heard about him. He was the son of a priest. While his father was tending to the altar of incense, burning, lifting the prayers of the saints up into heaven, awaiting the promised Messiah, he was stopped in his tracks when the angel Gabriel comes and proclaims to him that your wife, who is barren, will give birth to a son. That son will be the one who prepares the way. He will be the forerunner. Zacharias is struck dumb for the next 9 months. The next time that he opens his mouth and the words come out are once his son is born. And as they're trying to debate what his name should be, he proclaims it clearly. He says, his name is John. And he gives a beautiful song, the Benedictus, telling of what God will do through him to prepare the way for the Messiah. That little boy grew up. He went out into the wilderness, and the scriptures tell us about his garments, and the scriptures tell us about what he ate. He wore the furs, he ate locusts. Yes, he was a strange man, but a man that our Lord used to prepare the way for the Messiah. John preached a message of repentance. He preached that the kingdom of heaven was near, that people should turn from their wicked deeds, turn to the truth, and live. And then John would proclaim about Jesus. He would say, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Words that we sing week after week as we behold Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. As his body and his blood are held up for us to see the peace that he has granted to us. John preached repentance. He baptized for that purpose, and people flocked to hear it. The people fell in love with John for a message that he proclaimed. They were searching, they were yearning for that kingdom to come, a kingdom that their forefathers had prayed diligently for. John was beheaded for preaching the truth about adultery, for preaching the truth that marriage is between a man and a woman for life. He was beheaded for this, and yet his work continued. His work continued as Jesus continued to preach that same message, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Because when you are near to Jesus, you are as close to the kingdom of heaven as you can be right here until we die. So that where Jesus is, his kingdom reigns. This John caused an issue for the Pharisees, for John had called them a brood of vipers. He called them snakes, searching after their own father, the serpent that deceived in the garden. And so, when they interrupt Jesus in his teaching, they say to him, by whose authority are you saying these things? What right? Who gave you the right to say the things that you say? Knowing that they had rejected his forerunner, the prophet like Elijah, Jesus turns a question back on them. The baptism of John, Where was it from? From heaven or from men? And you can actually see, for St. Matthew lays out the reasoning in the Pharisee's head. He has put us in between a rock and a hard place. For if we say he is from men, the people may revolt against us because they took him to be a prophet. They heard his words as the word of God. But if we say that it is from God, all the times that he called us to repent, all the times he called us to turn away from our sins, all the times he revealed to us that we were sinners, even though we believe that we are not, he will catch us in our false pretenses. And so they said, "We do not know." They're trying to play it safe, and yet Jesus still scolds them. "Neither will I tell you what authority I do these things." Because the fact is that Jesus' authority comes from his Father from all eternity. For Jesus is the Word of creation. Jesus is the Word that is living and active. Jesus is the burning bush. Jesus is the proclamation not to take the life of your son, but rather that a lamb will be provided in his stead. Jesus has come by the authority of his Father and on his own authority as the eternal Son of God Almighty. But as they rejected John, they reject him as well. And so if he tells them, they will cry out exactly as they will, blasphemy. They will have him put to death for it. And Jesus is willing to allow that when the time is absolutely right. He goes willingly to the slaughter like a lamb. His mouth does not jeer those who jeer him. In fact, as he is hanging on that cross, he asks that his Father might forgive them their sins. This Jesus was crucified for their sins, for John the Baptizer's sins, for the sins of all the prophets who came before him, for the patriarchs, and even for you and me. But that Jesus that hung on the cross didn't stay there. Rather, on the third day, our Lord Jesus rose from the dead. And as St. Paul writes to the Ephesians, he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also that which is to come. On Christ's ascension, we now build. Had he not, who was dead, have risen, our faith would be in vain. Our hope would be in vain that we too will be resurrected. But our faith, our hope is not in vain, because it is the gospel truth. Because as our Lord was risen from the dead, our bodies will be raised as well to sing his praise for all eternity. And our Lord, after he raised him, ascended on high 40 days later to be seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, meaning that he has the full power, the full authority to now operate in that way, to now be with us this night, to be throughout the whole world as it confesses him as its Lord and Savior. Jesus, Yahweh saves. Yahweh is salvation, is what that name means. And that name is above every name. That is the name that we confess and we believe. His name is above all names, and it shall be for all eternity. Jesus, how sweet that name is in my ears. Not to be used as a cuss or a swear, not to be taken in vain, but to be called upon in prayer, in praise, and in giving thanks. Jesus Christ will return to judge the living and the dead, And at his cry, at the trumpet sounding, every knee shall bow, every tongue then will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. But for those who believe, to their blessing, and to those who have rejected him, to their eternal damnation. So, dear Christian, take heart. Jesus, who has overcome the world, Jesus, who has overcome our sins, Jesus, who has overcome the devil, is Lord over all creation. And this Jesus, whom was dead and was raised and is seated at the right hand, will come again in glory. The church sings. O risen Christ, ascended Lord, all praise to you let earth accord. Alleluia, alleluia. You are, while endless ages run, with Father and with Spirit one. Alleluia, alleluia. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.